Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, although don't do it right now because apparently I'm just out there bragging about finding a new Maybach. Yeah, it's been awesome. Apparently I am a
high
fabulous
roller.
Crypto investor. Apparently I'm one of the world's best right now. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep streaming, you can do so. The Odyssey app is available. You can also stream us on iHeartRadio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X. He hasn't been hacked, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day. Why are you going to do that to me? You just put that out in the world.
It'd be a real shame. Be a real shame.
It would be.
Hate that. It's just, I don't know, like, then you're, like, racking your brain, like, does this password link up to another, and it's like, do they have my bank information? I don't...
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, as soon as that would happen, I'm changing a whole lot of things.
I also get zero sympathy from my wife. It's like, if I get hacked, she just assumes it was something I did. She's like, it was that phone call you answered the other day. I was like...
What does that have to do with my Twitter?
I was like, I have no idea how... I don't have voice activation on Twitter. I was like...
We were just looking at their... Is there even a voice activation thing for that?
I
bet that's the $60 it's a month.
Yeah, so you have to pay.
That's the big premium.
What is it? Blue? Twitter Blue? Or X Blue? My company is each and every Thursday on the program. He has not been hacked on the Everything app. He, of course... writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. He is David Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day, and congrats on the new Mercedes.
Yeah,
that you were able
I got
to
a Maybach
because of all your Bitcoin mining. You'll have to teach me the tricks of the trade sometime. I'd love to get myself in a new Mercedes. So yeah, you know, after the show today, yeah, give me a call and tell me more about how you mine.
Well, I can't give out state secrets. Then everybody be doing it. You know.
Yeah, like La Cosa Nostra might be interested too.
To say they're not linked.
Maybe.
Just saying, I live in an NBA town.
You do?
Just.
An NBA town of a team that's 1-0, no less.
1-0 NBA town. So we'll discuss some Grizzlies. We'll talk about the college football slate. Then Eric Hasline's going to join us. We'll continue the Grizzlies conversation with him. Shout out to Eric, who shouted out my mom. He was correct that she had gone to sleep. But he shouted her out on the radio broadcast. My mom's friends texted her, so that made her feel good. So shout out to Eric for that. We'll get into the list during hour number two. I want to talk about the gambling thing. I'm still not entirely sure like what they're all implicated by, because it does seem like it's two separate issues, right? Like, the illegal poker game does not seem tied to the player and coach's sports rigging, as I believe Cash Patel dubbed it today.
Well, it hasn't been tied together yet.
Okay, but I guess that's my question. Is that where this is headed? Because I understand they're not going to like lay out their whole case at a press conference, but is that the implication?
Well, look here, as somebody who's now rewatching The Sopranos for the second time, I can speak with a pretty significant level of authority on this. And no, I don't know.
I watched Goodfellas 3 weeks ago, and I watched Casino 2 weeks ago, so I feel like I'm pretty qualified as well.
Once you kind of get into the mafia rabbit hole,
you're in it for like that's like a month of movies. I got a take. Godfather 3 is not that bad. It's not anywhere near the other two. I fully acknowledge that. It's still not that bad. Like, people act like it's a horrible movie. Like, in the grand scheme of movies that are made, Godfather Part 3 is not that bad.
I like The Sopranos because it feels, like, realistic. Like, you're seeing their family lives. Like, you're seeing them, their day-to-day lives, in addition to them, like, in addition to their mafia activities. It makes it feel real.
Yeah, I also think, like, that's the advantage that television had. Like, you know what I mean? You can tell a lot more of the story. Like, even with Goodfellas, which is, what, 3.5 hours? Like, they still got they were covering a lot of period of time in 3.5 hours. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of got to move it along.
Yeah, for sure. But this is the most relevant the mafia's been. And
That was the other thing. My first thought was, like, I thought these families were kind of, like, out of the game. Like, I thought the Gambinos had been out for a while.
Yeah, this is good PR for them. Like, hey, we're back. We got Chauncey Billups on the payroll.
Well, what I was wondering, though, is it bad PR? Because a lot of these families have tried to go legit. And so, like, does this, like, put, like, a damper in your societal standing?
I mean, have you read some of this stuff, though, that they were using, like, X-ray vision
contact lenses? It was the plot of Austin Powers.
I mean,
like, they had number two. They had number two with the eye patch.
Yeah,
you can see the cards.
Right. Yeah, it's like, hey, you want to come play poker with Chauncey Billups?
We got a big game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what do they call it in The Sopranos? They call it the executive game.
There we go. Yeah, so we'll get into that during hour number two. Jason Smith will join the program as well. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But as Cobb mentioned, that is the 1-0 Memphis Grizzlies to you. 128-122 final. There was a nice moment in my wonderful marriage last night where my wife goes, "What are you going to do without being able to tweet during the game?" Like, that was like her like actual concern. And I was like, "Well, I'm probably just going to be tweeting to you, because whatever I would have tweeted, I'm just going to say to you."
Wait, so not only is your account hacked, but like you can't get back in. Uh-uh. So like, what do you have to do? Do you have to reach out to Twitter support?
Yeah, since I fired off another humble brag about mining Bitcoin, which I thought that was mining Bitcoin feels like very like 2019. Like
doggy coin. Now,
yeah,
whatever,
well,
right?
It's just like also I feel like the mining of Bitcoin only lasted like that was like 5 years ago. Like you don't ever hear about. People were like using mining Bitcoin in like 2019 to get rich quick, but like you don't hear about that strategy anymore.
You're bringing it back.
Yeah, apparently I am, and I'm buying Maybachs with it, which I would love to know if any of the Mercedes dealerships here even have a Maybach.
Also, do they accept Bitcoin? I mean, can you walk into the dealer and say, "Hey, I got 55K in Bitcoin for you"?
That is a good question. I mean, I would think. Not right.
Here's the honest truth, Jeffrey. I didn't even realize you had been hacked until the open to the show because circa 2019,
yeah.
All these bros were tweeting about Bitcoin. I went in and made Bitcoin a blocked word on Twitter.
That's smart.
I never saw it. So like my former coworker Barrett Salee, like bless his heart, tweeted about Bitcoin way too much. So like, but anytime he did, I would never see it. And then I did the same thing with COVID. I did the same thing with vaccine. Like, I just
smart.
Don't care. Like, I
yeah.
don't care.
No,
I don't.
That's, you know? I feel like you moderate your Twitter account. Because my defense mechanism is I never click for you. And like I can always tell, I've always used the, if ever I'm scrolling Twitter and I find myself like having an emotional reaction, I know immediately it's like I'm on the For You page.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's amazing. Yeah. Like I think I also muted Democrat. I think I muted Republican.
Yeah. You're like don't give me any of this.
I just need the sports and
breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all I want.
No, I will say I think this will be an interesting social experiment of not having Twitter if it's like better for your psyche. Where I think it's a problem is I am now just realizing how entirely dependent on Twitter for news that I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You pull it up. I probably open the Twitter app on my phone. I don't even tweet that much anymore, but I open the Twitter app on my phone probably 15 times a day.
Yeah, it's the news feed. Because like I don't really like actively seek out like 85 different sources. It's like, okay, well, this is a curated feed based on what I've chosen to follow.
Yeah, the last 2 days, I got way deep into the Tony Vitello rabbit hole because.
Oh, hand up. That was a miss. Yeah.
You thought he was going to stay.
No, well, okay, so my first instinct on that was that felt very Lincoln Riley throwing his name. When Lincoln Riley was at Oklahoma, that felt very Lincoln Riley throwing his name into NFL jobs to get a raise. I will say I am curious now if Tennessee, because we've talked about it. I think Tennessee has been the school so far that has done the best at investing in three sports and really a fourth, if you want to count women's basketball. I'm hearing things that Vitello might have left because they might be starting to cut back on baseball spending.
So that's the whole thing is Tony Basilio, who is a longtime radio personality in Knoxville, but I would say kind of more on the, dark web side, I guess.
Okay.
You know, he's not with like the flagship station of the Vols. He's kind of like got his own cult following, I guess, is the best way to say it. He put out this blog post or his site did or whatever, basically saying that Tony had beef with Danny White, the athletic director, over the fact that Danny had allocated a significant amount of rev share, NIL, et cetera, to women's basketball. And maybe he thought baseball was going to get some of that. And so what's happened here is what we've been talking about this, Jeffrey.
You got to make choices.
Is that exactly it? We see the same thing at a lot of SEC schools that want to be good at multiple sports. Really, there's only a handful that have really narrowed it down. You look at LSU, they're like, yeah, whatever, men's basketball.
They have punted men's basketball.
Who cares? Football, women's basketball.
I think it's fair to say Kim Mulkey's roster is probably more expensive than the men's roster.
Nick Mann's.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you're spot on. Same with Georgia. They're like, we care about football. That is what we care about here. Tennessee's like, no. We want to be good at basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, football. Like, and it's like, yo, okay, but there's only so much money. And that tension finally hit a boiling point here with this Tony V thing. Whether it's true or not that he was mad at the athletic director, the fan base is now, they now think that Tony Vitello left to coach the Giants because Danny White gave money to the women's basketball program. So that's a perception issue that Danny White's got to deal with now. Never mind the fact that the dude got offered a Major League Baseball manager job. Like, you have to say yes to that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really see this. Like, I was trying to explain to somebody, how many casual baseball fans do you think know that Pat Murphy was, like, the longtime coach at Arizona State?
No, yeah, I mean, none.
And now, granted, he wasn't hired from Arizona State. I think he might have gotten canned for some player abuse, although you never know. Sometimes that's like when the university just doesn't want to pay you, like they start slinging some mud. So, like, you know, it wasn't bad enough that Major League Baseball wouldn't hire him. So,
yeah, he at least had some professional experience.
Correct. And he, like, I think he was the bench coach. And then when Council left, I think he got promoted. So,
right.
It's not like I cannot remember anyone going straight from college. Like the last game he coached was a college baseball game, and the next game he'll manage is a Major League Baseball game.
It's insane. I mean, he never even played minor league baseball. Like that's, and it's so rare to see that. For even in the major leagues, it feels like 75% of major league managers played in the majors. Like, there's no other sport like it in terms of the, hey, you kind of had to walk in these shoes and live this life before we'll respect you. And like, Tony has not done that. So it's going to be interesting.
Was there a connection with him and Buster Posey? I was trying to there's like no way their timelines ever added up, right?
I don't think so, but like the Giants did just promote Drew Gilbert, who was a big part of the title run.
Yeah.
He was pre-national title run, but a big part of the build at Tennessee. So they've got a couple of other Vitello guys in their system. So I think he's just gotten to know him probably through the draft process.
It also probably goes to show now these college jobs are more like pro jobs.
Yeah, I guess that's why it was hard to leave, right? Like, I just blew my mind that it took Tony Vitello multiple days to decide to leave a college baseball job for not only an MLB manager gig, but, I mean, I think most people would agree the Giants are probably a top 10 job. Like, they've won the World Series in recent years. It's a pretty strong franchise. It's not like you left to go coach the Marlins or the Nationals or something. I mean, this is like a pretty good job he was offered. You know, the thing that's got Tennessee fans upset though, Jeffrey, like, okay, we get it. You're leaving to go coaching, you know, the major leagues. That's awesome. Congratulations. But they're looking 5-10 years down the line and they're seeing the Saban career arc.
Yeah.
Where it's Saban leaves LSU, goes to the NFL, then comes back at Alabama.
I can see that. I don't know. I mean, I think the guy will probably, like, listen, Major League Baseball, it's pretty simple. Like, how good's your roster? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, if the roster's good, he'll stay for a while because it's not like the Giants are not notorious for, like, to your point, just yanking managers in and out. Like, it's a fairly stable franchise. All right, so let's get back to last night with the Grizzlies because there's a couple things I wanted to touch on. Number one, I think it goes without question. Holy cow, watching basketball with Ja Morant on the floor is just a way better experience because in the first half, I think we were all kind of doing the move of kind of twiddling your thumbs, being like, this looks a lot like the preseason, but I don't want to overreact. And I kind of, at the half, I had talked myself into, well, they're not going to shoot this badly the whole game. Like, yeah, do I think it's a great shooting team? No, but do I think it's like a single digit from three shooting team? No. And then in the third quarter, they obviously started to really hit some shots. The intensity seemed to crank up, and I thought overall that was good. And then to me, like, the other big thing was, yeah, Jaren gets in foul trouble, Jaren fouls out, but that was kind of the other thing you realized last night. It's like, man, Ja and Jaren were, like, carrying the load, and like, that's what you want. Like, that in the end, like, that's what you're paying them for. And to me, like, that was super encouraging. And then obviously the Cedric Coward of it all was super encouraging because it's not just, okay, he hit five shots. Like, he was perfect from the floor and he had 14 points.
Oh, also, that block in the last 2 minutes.
It was just the classic. He was just doing something.
The new Mr. Do Something.
Yes. Like, it was just, he was active. And Calkins and I were also talking about this. He wears the number 23 really well. Like, the jersey just looked good on him. Like, that's important to me.
That's a bold number to pick as a rookie.
Yes. But he looks pretty good in it.
He does, man. It was the intangibles for me. Like, I was never, like, just shaking my boots over the fact that he shot the ball poorly in the preseason. But then it's like, all right, when the lights come on and this thing is for real, like, how do you look like you're overwhelmed? And he did not. He did not look overwhelmed at all. And I didn't think Javon Small did either. We're talking about a late second round rookie point guard. That's the absolute last person that you want playing critical minutes for you as a rookie in the NBA regular season. And yeah, I mean, I realized Javon Small didn't score, but there in the first half when the bench was making a run, I mean, I thought he made a lot of really nice plays. And the fact that, like, you're down Scottie Pippen Jr., you're down Ty Jerome, and yet you're still getting sufficient point guard play from somebody who you thought would probably going to spend most of their time in the G League. I mean, that was huge. I thought there was a lot to like. I like the build of Omax Prosper and the fact that it feels like, at least last night, the Grizzlies actually had some length, some athleticism out there, more so than maybe last season. And
on the perimeter.
Well, yeah, okay.
Inside started to get bad. I mean, obviously, foul trouble had a lot to do with that, but I'm not sure Big Jock's going to be like a I don't know if he's going to be a difference maker on the inside.
I mean, the note I made on Jock while watching that game last night was boards and bunnies. Like,
yeah.
Boards and bunnies, man.
He plays
hard. Handle that, like,
and he gets his six fouls.
Yeah, that was frustrating. The fact that Jaren fouled out, man. And it's like, we have this conversation with him every year.
What was the play? What did Tomas challenge before? Because I swear, if he would have had a challenge, I think they would have won that one at the sixth foul, but I know they'd used it.
Okay, I was trying to remember. Fouled out hedging. So Zion was coming off a screen.
Yep.
Jaren hedged and came out to kind of attack the ball handler there. And I guess they said he didn't get into position. They collided, you know. I mean, it was good defense. It was just, it was a foul.
So, okay, if they called that, all right, that's fine. I thought they called it with his hand when he was trying to get around the screener.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they called it because I could actually see from her angle, his hand kind of looks extended, and then the guy flops. But I think when you went back and you saw on replay, it's like he didn't really actually get his hand on him as much as it looked like.
Yeah, it felt ticky-tack a little bit. So then you had to close the game with Santi at the five, which is hilarious.
Well, did you hear Tomas after the game?
What'd he say?
He said we had lineups playing last night that we didn't even practice.
Oh, why would you ever?
Your eyeballs told you that, but it's like even in last second whatever scrimmages, nah, these guys haven't even played together.
Was PJ Hall inactive?
I don't know if they made him unavailable. They're showing it as DNP coach's decision, so doesn't that mean you're active?
So he could have played. I mean, I understand why they didn't throw him in there at the very end of the game, but that was interesting to me that they're like, all right, we'll go with Santi here. Also, just the growth. I think, okay, first off, the scariest moment of that game is, what is it, last couple of minutes, Jaw twist the ankle, and you're like,
listen, I love Brevin as much as anyone. I ride for my guys. Brevin did us all no favors.
Because, his reaction was...
Right, because Brevin's... It's like, this is a trained eye. This is the guy that we depend as our expert. When he started freaking out, it's like, well, that makes us freak out.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I thought growth was evident from Ja, because you remember that floater he banks in, I think, to make it a four-point game and with roughly 30 seconds left?
The dagger.
He could have gone up and tried to end that guy. You know, he could have gone up and tried to catch a body and yam that thing, right?
To your point in general, it's been something I feel like we've been begging for at least 4 years. Ja and the, like, hey, man, hit that 15-footer, hit that 8-footer, like whatnot. I thought that last night, for the most part, I think he was taking that shot effectively.
The floater, chef's kiss. I mean, it was there. He was hitting it. And it just, like, takes so much. You know, it's sort of the Mike Conley floater, right?
Absolutely.
It's the reason why Mike Conley is still playing in the NBA at
hit the brakes,
40
fly right
old.
By.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, if Ja Morant's going to last into his mid to late 30s, like, he's going to have to develop that into his repertoire. And, like, you saw it last night. And it was awesome. So at the end of the day, I'm not a huge believer in the Pelicans. Like, I don't necessarily think the Pelicans are going to be that good of a team. Like, there were moments in the second half last night where they had their second unit out there and Jordan Hawkins was just invisible. Derek Queen looked goofy with the baggy uniform and just so unready as a rookie. And then,
well, the other thing, I'd mention this to Calkins, and I think you'd agree, since we watched so much college basketball. Was it not jarring to see Queen last year at Maryland, when he was on the floor, he looked like a monster.
Yeah.
And last night, he just looked like just a dude. Like, and to me, like, that just also shows the difference in NBA body types versus even great college players. It's like, it's just night and day.
Oh, for sure. I actually thought Zion looked like he was in better shape.
I was
going to
say, so I'm definitely not doing the, hey, move over 82-0. Like, I'm not making room for that, or even 81-1. I do think people forget when Zion plays, they're still pretty good.
No, that's, I mean, that's,
he just
fair.
Plays so little.
Like,
and last night, and yeah. Zion was really, like, had Ja Morant not been on the floor last night, I think Zion was the best player.
Well, I think their starting five is pretty solid, like Jordan Poole and Trey Murphy and Herb Jones and all those guys. And, you know, it's their the New Orleans bench, where it was like, I think Memphis has an edge here. Even with all the injuries, I like the players that Memphis is bringing off the bench more. And I mean, obviously, depth has never really been the issue with the Grizzlies franchise, except for right now you don't have any bigs. I thought the Jeremiah Fears, Ja Morant battle to end the third quarter and begin the fourth was really pretty good. Like, for Fears as a rookie, his first game on the road, like, he made some awesome plays after. I thought he looked overwhelmed early, but then Ja was just like, nah, man, like, I'm that guy. Like, you're the triple A version of me. And that was super fun to see it, because Ja was clearly the best player on the floor. Fears was fun to watch there in spurts, but vintage Ja Morant performance for sure.
I never got the criticism of that pick. I caution, I'm not sure that the defensive unit that was on the floor mostly when Fears was on the floor, I'm not sure if that's going to be a top 10 NBA defense. So I would like to see maybe non-Grizzlies defense adjusted. But last night to me showed, like, man, I liked that guy at Oklahoma. And
he's fun to watch.
God, is he fast.
Yeah, he's
just
like, he
so
really
fast.
Is kind of like a triple A version of Ja.
Yes.
And that is not an insult by any stretch. Like, that's quite a compliment, actually. So I think the criticism had to have been based on the fact that, all right, they got Jordan Poole and DeJounte Murray's on that team still, right?
I think on paper.
Yeah. And then you probably saw in the second half, Pete and Brevin were talking about it. Like, Jose Alvarado is a coach's decision not playing last night for New Orleans, and he's like a veteran point guard in the league. Like, somebody the Memphis Grizzlies would love to have right now, and he doesn't get off the bench because they got to play the rookie who they spent a lottery pick on. So it's like, I think that's probably what it was more than anything. It's like, oh, this is definitely not the position that the Pelicans needed, but it gets back to the old thing of, like, you know, best available or franchise fit.
And also, I know everyone's killing the picks, the trading of the picks. And I that was like the classic when you even try to have someone, like, we say make the devil's argument case for it, and even that doesn't make sense. Like, I'm fine with that. But they're also kind of doing a thing that the Nets are doing, which I think a lot of people have actually tipped the cap, which is, hey, man, we don't have a lot of good players, so we're trying to accumulate players and see what we got.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, like, the West is so rugged that and you just have so many questions about Zion's durability that I don't expect to look up and see the Pelicans in the playoffs at the end of the season. But, like, that doesn't matter. Like, last night was not about getting a read on who the Grizzlies are going to be in March. It was about Ja Morant playing basketball, playing it at a high level, Jaren Jackson Jr. being healthy, you know. So from that standpoint, it was an A+. Like, Cedric Howard looked great. The depth, you know, Cam Spencer hit some big shots. It was a lot to like. Kenny CP, as we call him.
Did you get to watch post game? Because Brevin did speak for all of us. Kenny / KCP was on the broadcast line right before the post game interview, and right before they let him go, Brevin's like, I am trying to do Kenny. He's given us permission. KCP's still fine.
Okay.
KCP said, like, again, that is really tough. Like, it's not quite as bad as when Mike Stanton made, like, it's Giancarlo. It's like, dude, we just spent a long time learning Mike Stanton. Like, I get what you're saying, but, like, I just feel like when KCP rolls off the tongue so easily, like, you can't just demand, like, all of a sudden we start calling you something else.
Yeah.
And he was cool with it.
I have a niece who decided in her adult years to start going by her middle name. That's
tough. That's always a weird one. Usually people do that, but when they'll go to college and they want to be known by a different name.
I've seen that move before
where, because it's not like me, it's not like dropping the R-E-Y and going Jeff. Like, there's people that will, like, literally just go by a different name.
Here, I've always wondered this, Jeffrey. If you were not so intertwined and synonymous with Jeff Calkins, would you go by Jeff, but you just choose to go by Jeffrey to avoid confusion?
No, I do it to avoid confusion with my dad.
Oh,
I'm Junior.
Okay. Dang. Okay. So there's a number of reasons why it would be confusing if you were.
And it's not like there, you know, there are plenty of people that call me Jeff. And it's not like I'm not the guy that would correct you. My name is Jeffrey. Like, I don't do, like, my college roommate would call me Jeff. So I don't particularly care. It's just it's always been, that's how you differentiate between my dad and me.
So you're technically Jeffrey Wright Jr.
Correct.
Okay. So does anybody call you Junior, call you Chip?
Not really. I did always think had Josephine been a boy, she was going to be Jeffrey Robert Wright III. The question would have been Trey, but Aaliyah apparently hates the name Trey.
Trey J.
Yeah. Three sticks.
Yeah, no, I think that kind of pops, actually. Y'all, it's not too late. Y'all could, you know.
That's been a sore subject. spoiler alert to everyone out there. If you marry an only child and you would like to have more than one child, make that known.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel
it's
like
amazing how only children really find out really quickly. Like, they want to just be one and done.
Y'all should have talked that out maybe beforehand.
I mean,
but
we kind of did. I did broach the subject.
Yeah, I mean, we're not to the nitty gritty of it yet.
Yeah.
But like, we're in a two versus three situation, and right now we're at one. You know, so
yeah. No, I mean, I'm not trying to pull a Giannotto here, like, but
yeah. Oh gosh, yeah man, no, that guy needs to have a surgery.
I noticed my daughter's personality. I'm like, this wonderful child needs to have somebody else in her life to know that the entire world does not center around her. All right, let's take a break. We'll save college football because I think there's God, man, I really love this slate. Like, I love
the
balance of it. Yeah, because I think there's a lot of my type of games where it's like someone could get fired in basically all of these.
Well, that's true. I love carnage, yeah.
I do. Well, I also just love watching these guys. Like, watching these guys that deal with pressure is always just entertaining to me.
You're sick.
So there's a lot of good. Like, obviously, Fayetteville's a big, big Saturday for me.
You're going to be taking a victory lap of all.
Well,
you know,
I don't know.
Time.
I'm scared. What if the game feels just like there's an argument that that's the Baylor game.
Well, actually, you know what has been fantastic about Auburn's futility is the fact, you remember before the season, we were doing SEC, you know, win totals, and this was on my CBS Sports win totals plays as well, was Auburn under 7.5. Well, then they win the season opener against Baylor, and I'm like, uh-oh, we're in trouble
here. And the other thing is they look good.
They did look good. It turns out running Jackson Arnold 25 times a game
Correct.
Was not sustainable.
Correct. We thought at the time, it's like, well, who's our boy at Baylor? Dave?
Aranda.
We thought Aranda was just being stubborn by keeping all the safeties back and trying to not give the explosive play. And so, like, we talked, well, there'll be times where Cam Coleman's going to get one-on-one looks and they're going to hit those throws. Now, it turns out that that didn't really change either.
Yeah, so your boy Hugh, he's on his last leg here, man.
Well, if only he could just get that vote of confidence from John Cohen.
He's the one coach who didn't get it on Monday. It seemed, like everybody else did.
He's so likable. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk Grizzlies when we come back with Eric right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That music means we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He is Eric Hasseltine. Eric,
yeah.
That was a lot better than the preseason.
Not for the first two quarters.
But it looked a lot. I was trying to like convince them. This is not the preseason. It'll get better.
You know, again, we talked about it during the preseason, and you and I talked about it. You got a lot of new faces, and Coach Isalo actually alluded to that in his pregame availability, where he, you know, said, "Hey, it's a whole new team." You know, and now we've got even more injuries and new guys, rosters that haven't been together. So, you know, it was gonna take time. The problem that I watching it had was it didn't seem to be clicking where it looked like the offense was at least fast. Guys were having to think and react and not just play instinctual. And as we got into that third quarter, it seemed like some things got figured out. Guys were moving better. The ball was moving better. Guys were getting in the right spots. It was spilling over to the defensive end where he had Jaren protecting the rim, even though he had 4 fouls. You know, it was kind of it all worked together. And then you saw the spots where they would get up 10 and then it would get out of whack. And then we'd come back closer. And then we'd get up 10 and then they would come back and it would get closer. And offense ineptitude would lead to defensive breakdowns. So, yeah, I mean, like it was better, but you also had I couldn't figure out where the Pelicans went wrong. When I looked at that stat sheet at the end of the night, and I know you guys were talking about it this morning, cause I was listening, by the way, nice way to avoid a loss in October on your trivia, which I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Misery.
Yeah, there's something about the wording of the question. It took me when I was like, oh, yeah, it's her Academy Award.
Kathy Bates, yeah, fanatic fan, Memphis' own. Yeah, and American Psycho he had in that thing. I didn't know he was going to get
I got very scared because most of the time when Kevin does the final question, I know one and I don't know the other. And then when that one came out and I knew American, I was like, oh, boy. Draw.
Yeah, you're like, here we go. I heard you. So, anywho, you look at it and you look at offensive rebounds, second chance points, you know, where did it go wrong? Where it went right for the Grizzlies was they made their shots. Even though they didn't shoot a great percentage from three, they made their twos. And if you remember going into in the preseason, there were plenty of games where they were like 40% from three, but under 40% overall, which meant they shot under 40% from two and didn't take a ton of them. Most notably the game in Greensboro where their 2-point percentage was abysmal. They couldn't score in the lane. I think 12 has a lot to do with that. He breaks things down. But you look at it and you go, where did this go wrong? And the only thing I can point my finger to when I look at what happened for the Pelicans was Jordan Poole kind of got out of a rhythm. He made a couple threes early, maybe got a little cocky. The little thing with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope seemed to affect him. Trey Murphy, for whatever reason, usually just annihilates the Grizzlies. He just plays well against them. Maybe still feeling like they shouldn't have traded him on draft night in the, you know, Steven Adams, Zaire Williams deal, whatever. But he was not very effective. And then obviously the injury to Misi. But you take what happened for the Grizzlies, you know, Jaren picks up, like you called it, a couple of Jaren specials. But the last two, you're like, you got to let him play. And I think on the air I even said, I said, that's a tough foul to call when the guy's got four, when he's just jostling for position. And then on five, does he put two hands out and push him to get to the hedge spot? Yeah. Is it technically a foul? Sure. Does every player in the NBA seemingly do that every time on a screen? Yep, because they came right back down, and the Pelicans did, Herb Jones did the exact same thing. And Jones at that time had four fouls. And I'm like, well, if you're going to call it on one end, you got to call it on them too, because he did the exact same thing. The only difference was whoever got pushed for the Grizzlies, and I can't remember exactly what it was, didn't flop to the ground and fall. And you're like, okay, come on now. Like, you got to be able to use your eyes. But it is a hard game to officiate. Whatever the case may be, to come away with a victory, and I think you guys said it really well this morning, the expectations are kind of up in the air, and they're probably lower than they've been from the fan base in a while, because you don't really know what you have, and the West is brutal. You know, you look at last night, and Utah's up on the Clippers by 40 at one point. You're like, okay, come on. Utah's supposed to be terrible. The Clippers are supposed to be this dangerous, veteran-laden team. Well, they got blitzed, and then the Kings are up 20 and blow that game in Phoenix to a team that's not supposed to be very good. It's Devin Booker and a bunch of other guys. So what is the West? And you can't judge it after one night. But to get any win you can, and to get your fans feeling good, especially on opening night, and especially with some of the highlight reel plays they had, it was good. It was good. It was good to see Ja and Jaren play together again. It was good to see Jalen Wells, I think, kind of got lost in the mix of Ja's effort and Jaren's block shots and Cedric Coward's perfect night from the field and the key block at the rim that, you know, got rebounded by Santi and sent to Ja for the fast break that kind of really seemingly took the wind out of the sails of the Pelicans. They thought they had a sure two, and here comes this rookie and just knocks it away at rim level, and the Grizzlies go the other way and get two. That was a big swing. But Jalen's performance, I thought, kind of got lost in the mix. And you see, you know, Kenny Caldwell-Pope, which is, I guess, what he wants to be called, is Kenny, which is great. I have no problem with it. Be called what you want to be called. Really struggle in the early part of the game and then make a couple of critical threes in that third quarter. You know, okay, I can see when this team gets healthy in a month or so that they can be a problem for teams. Are they the top of the tier? No. We know that's Oklahoma City, Houston, and probably Denver. But could they be in the top six? It's possible. Could they be in the top eight? Absolutely. Could they be in the top 10? Absolutely. Could they be 11th or 12th? Absolutely. So it's still kind of that enigma in how do you play together, but it was fun to feel the energy of the building and get the win.
Yeah, Eric, if you had told me 2 months ago that the Grizzlies' opening night rotation would include Jock Landale as a starter, and then off the bench you would have Omax Prosper, Cam Spencer, and Javon Small playing legitimate minutes, and you would have said, yeah, and you're going to win on opening night, I would have said, okay, sign me up. Like, the fact that they're already this deep into the bench in game one and figured out a way to win last night, I mean, I very encouraging. And also from the standpoint of, like, they still went 11 deep, even though some of those options were very clearly guys who, if everyone were healthy, would be getting, you know, DNP coaches' decisions or probably not even in uniform.
Right. And I think, you know, look, I 100% on it with that, Cobb, and that, you know, guys were playing that probably will not be playing. Two-way guys like Small and Prosper, who probably would not be up on the roster. John Conchar maybe gets minutes. Cam Spencer probably does not if Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr. are healthy. Just a numbers game. It's intriguing that, to me, it's interesting that you look in one two-way guy and a guy that, you know, at one point you were refusing to even listen to trades for, didn't play last night. Two-way guy, I get P.J. Hall is what P.J. Hall is. He's undrafted. He's stuck on an NBA roster for 2 years now. This is his second season, and he's a stretch four that's, you know, a tad undersized, but works his tail off and a good guy to have in your organization. Gigi's kind of the enigma, still young. Is he still developing? Has a phenomenal preseason game in Miami where everything seemed to click. And in the back of my head, leaving, you know, Bayside on the bus, I was like, maybe Gigi's back, you know? And then he doesn't play. And Prosper plays. And Prosper didn't play in the last preseason game. I was like, what did I miss in the 3 days of practice? What happened? Where did it go? And we don't know. We don't know if they were running drills or, you know, sets, and Tuoma saw something in Omax that he liked better than what he saw in the mix with Gigi. Who knows? But yeah, when you're going deep into your bench early on and you're using guys that probably are not going to be typical rotation guys and you're getting wins, that's a bonus. I put it to somebody in the league last night that I talked to after the game. They're like, you know, what did you guys do? And I said, I think they just went out and outplayed, outworked, out-hustled the Pelicans. And the Pelicans kind of turned and just looked at Zion and said, save us. And he couldn't do it by himself. With that said, I said, you take the four of the top nine rotational guys off just – and I'm not saying your best player because your best two were out there. But let's talk, could you make a case that one of those guys is three or four? Sure. Could you make a case that one of them's five or six? Sure. Seven through nine, the other two? Absolutely. You take four guys like that off of most teams, you got a problem. I mean, you got problems. And to get a win against the divisional opponent, like you said, you'll take it. Things that do need to be cleaned up. Some of the, you know, the one that's driving me nuts, and I think it's just, again, is going to come with chemistry, is I've seen this team throughout the end of last year and even midway through last year, now into this year, preseason and last night, the ball handlers have to wait for the bigs to get set for the screens. There are too many lost possessions on guys either rolling too quickly, never setting because the guard doesn't let them set and starts his dribble move before the screen's even there. And it's like, yo, take a breath. I know you want to play fast. There's a difference between being quick and being in a hurry. Be quick. Don't be in a hurry. If they can clean some of that up, and now the big talk is going to be, obviously, do you need more size? And there are guys out there available that you could go ink to a contract or make a trade. Then do you address that need for a month? And I think in the answer in the West is, if you have aspirations of contending for one of the 10 spots in the postseason, you go make that move. I mean, if it's something you think you can get done and it's not something that you don't like the parameters of the deal, if you want to feel like you're making your move, I think you have to make that move. It's not an earth-shattering deal, but it says, hey, we're not in it just to kind of use this year as developmental, even though I think all of us would agree we expect them to be better next year with the additions of the draft picks, with the, you know, with guys coming in and being able to spend some money, guys' contracts locked up. We expect them to take bigger strides next year. But why wouldn't you want to compete this year? What is it about this year that you would want to, if that's the case, are you kind of semi, you know, looking at not trying to put your best foot forward and maximizing your assets? I just don't see that. I don't see that out of these players. I don't see that out of the coaches. And this front office hasn't really had a penchant for doing that. They like to make moves. They like to be active, and they like to try to find hidden gems. So I think if you can go address the glaring, you know, problem of cleaning up the defensive glass and preventing second chances and taking better care of the basketball, not giving away possessions, this team has some favorable matchups coming up. Miami is obviously going to have a few distractions when they arrive here this evening and into tomorrow. And it was a distraction when we were there. I'll be honest with you. People were talking about what is his situation? What is he going to be? You know, the investigation supposedly is cleared unless there's more to come. But, you know, what does Eric Spoelstra do with Terry Rozier? And in fact, he addressed that in his pregame availability the night the Grizzlies played them and said, you know, we're figuring out where he fits in this mix with Tyler Hero out and yada, yada, yada. And boom, well, you ain't going to have him. And it's not like they're going to super miss him, but that's still a distraction. You know, one of your teammates just got arrested for something pretty severe and pretty, you know,
by the FBI.
Yeah. for something that kind of the league has always gone, this is an absolute no-fly zone. We don't even want to talk about it. To now we got, we get some sponsors and these guys throw a lot of money our way. Just don't do it yourselves. But, you know, we'll prop it up to do all this other stuff. And in doing so, have made it very easy for, you know, guys to maybe do the things that Jontay Porter and now apparently Terry Rozier have done, where they say, hey, take everything you got and put, you know, to his friends. I don't know who these people are to him. And I'm going to like roll my ankle and come out of the game in 5 minutes. But the problem is, Jeffrey, as you know, and Cobb, as you know as well, I'm sure, when everybody starts laying a wager on the same thing and it's not like something that the public would normally hit, yeah, the red lights go off. It's kind of like the old Stephen Smith thing at Arizona State when that scandal, that point shaving scandal went up, when like kids are driving from from Tempe to Vegas,
right,
to
bet and placing
thousands of dollars
on video.
And they're all the same bet. The FBI goes, something's wrong here. Something is not right. That this is like 98% of the wagers are on, you know, the other team or they're taking the opponent of Arizona State, and all these kids are walking in Arizona State. They know something or the fix is in. And, you know, I actually watched that FX made for TV movie, and it was interesting because, you know, Stephen Smith was a guy that was going to the NBA. I mean, he was a guy that a lot of scouts were like, this guy can play at the next level, and tanked it. And now we're in a spot where, if you're putting role players and end of the bench role players, but you know they're going to play because of injuries, into these props, yeah, of course this is going to happen, unfortunately, because no matter and I'm on the same train that everybody else goes, dude. If you're making $20 million, which is why it's a little surprising with the Rozier thing, if you're making $20 million, I'm not really thinking that you're going to try to sneak an extra couple of grand here or there by taking yourself out of a game. If you're making the league minimum and you have a way to throw these in a couple parlays and you have a couple other things, you know, that might hit. Yeah. I could see where you would assure that your parlay that's going to pay out big money could do that. And so now the talk, obviously, I'm not sure if you guys have heard this, was they're trying to convince the powers that be that run these companies that take the bets. Let's leave the guys at the end of the bench out of the prop zone. We'll put the superstars out there. Put the guys that are going to play the 30 plus minutes type thing. And so that's, you know, that's where it goes. But yeah, I think Miami's, like I said, they're kind of ripe for the picking. Eric Spoelstra runs a tight ship. Indiana, what are they going to be? Second night of a back-to-back for the Grizzlies. Indiana plays tonight and they do not play tomorrow night. So they'll be rested. We've seen that scenario play itself out over the years where the Grizzlies have been the team coming in with their third game in four nights. Their opponent has only been either played one game or had the night before off. Usually doesn't go well. Maybe it's different on the home court. But then you go out, you get your look at Golden State, and you get a look at Phoenix, and come back and get a look at a LeBron-less Laker team to wrap up October. If you walk out of October at 500 or better, okay, let's figure out where we're going. Let's figure out what this can be. And then the prevailing thought is you need to keep your roster as healthy as possible, because we saw what happens when 12 is healthy and 8 is healthy and those guys play together. It's a problem for other teams.
The other thing I was thinking about, if we're going to be nitpicking, do we practice inbounds plays in late game situations? Because I feel like we had the same problem last year. Like last night they got away with it because KCP made an unbelievable catch on that ball up the sideline.
It was a Mahomes-like throw. And yeah. I had to. I mean, yes, and John just looked like he threw it to get rid of it.
Yeah.
He was griping about something, and I couldn't quite figure
someone
out
did
what
get. I can't remember if it was the first one or second. Someone got bumped on the first one, and they just didn't even call it.
But then there was like, he was yelling at their bench. Like, I don't know if one of their bench guys was getting behind him or doing something that you're not allowed to do. Then there was a fan right behind him that was either after the referees. I couldn't quite tell. These are this is one out of the 0.01% time out of the entire season where I go, boy, I wish I was kind of by the court
yeah.
so I could hear what he was saying. The other 99.99% of the time, I'm like, I am so happy to not be on the court and not have a coach standing in front of me so I have to look around him to see the play. But yeah, there was something weird with that. And KCP read that pass Kenny, as we should call him, as he wants to be called.
He gave us permission on the broadcast last night.
He's call him KCP?
Yeah, we can still call him KCP.
Well, you know, that's good, because if Pete, I guess Pete on the broadcast, because, you know, I never get to hear those guys, said, it's just hard for me to say Kenny Caldwell Pope for three when KCP for three just rolls off your
correct.
Tongue. And I go, he's not wrong.
No, we said the same thing. We're totally in agreement.
And I am not a CP3, CB4, you know, SGA, like, initials guy. I don't know why it works better for me for KCP, because now he's our guy. But I've always called him Caldwell Pope. I guess when he's with your team, it's easier. Like, I refuse to call Shai Gilgeous-Alexander SGA. I don't know why. I just do. It's just the way I was taught was that level of familiarity. It just wasn't the way I wanted to have my style. There are guys that use nothing but first names. And I'm like, I can't do that. They call the game their own way. They're professionals. They're great at it. It's just not me. And so I'm like, all right. And when Michael first called him Kenny, I think in the preseason, and I love giving Michael grief just because I do. And I was like, oh, so that's how big time you are. The guy's been here 2 weeks and you're already on the Kenny first name basis with him. That's, I see where we're going here, buddy. But he made the move to go get the ball, tap it forward. I did think it was a pretty accurate toss by Ja Morant. And, you know, that I don't know, but you're not wrong. I there are inbounds plays where nobody seemingly breaks towards the ball.
Right. And they can't, like, they're just like, I couldn't believe, once I thought they were going to get a 5 second call. Like, I remember last year there were games where, like, one time, like, they got a 5 second call, and then the next time they didn't even get it in. Like, it was just like, are we not working on this?
They avoided a 5 second call, and you're like, okay, you got to get it in. And then they did get the 5 second call the next time. Yeah, no, I don't know what that stems from. I don't know, and I'm not knocking Tuomas or our previous coach, Taylor Jenkins, but boy, it makes you value those times where Dave Yeager went to those money
plays.
Give
him that grease board, baby.
He had the notebook. I mean, I used to see the notebook, and he would show me what he was drawing up, and I'm like, yep, that's going to work. And then watching them practice it, like, even the defense knew what was coming and they couldn't stop it. And you're like, we kind of tracked it one year and we didn't get all the way through. But, I mean, it was like a 90% conversion rate.
I mean,
and then when he went Sacramento, that was the biggest.
Well, remember the Kings game? There was like a Kings game where, I want to say maybe like there was like a less than a second left when they got the ball back. And he just drew up like it was unreal. He was unbelievable on a grease board.
So he and I actually discussed this play. So I don't want to say I came up with this idea, but I remember sitting in a broadcast meetings in back in yesteryear when we were all in Jersey City, wherever we were staying, wherever the meetings were, at times they were in Times Square, whatever. They would have the referee meetings coinciding with the broadcasters meetings. And at the end of the broadcasters meetings, they would bring the referees in and we would all sit in the same room. And Joe Borgia, who you've seen from replay centers in years past when he was running the league, would basically hold this session to let us peon broadcasters know that we did not understand the rules as well as his officials. And there are two things that always stood out to me. One, there was an official who will remain nameless who, Joe Borgia asked him a question and he answered, he gave him like a multiple choice. And I looked over and I go, his name was Ronnie. And I go, Ronnie. And it's not Ronnie Gerritsen or anybody like that. So it was another guy who's no longer with it. I go, Ronnie, that's wrong. It's B. And he goes, no. And Joe Borgia looked at him. He goes, Ronnie. And I was real young at the time. He goes, the kid's right. And I went, yes.
That has to be a win. Oh, that had to be a win.
Yeah. So then the play came up where the example was a player out of bounds with the inbounding team throws the ball at the basket. The ball is clearly going on in the basket. A player on the opposite team.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.